Well, the parable we just heard is very familiar, and it's perhaps the easiest for us to understand, not least because the Bible itself offers an interpretation that Jesus gives to his disciples, though not to the crowd. And for me, the most important message from this parable has always been, what kind of soil am I? Are my roots shallow? Does my faith easily get throttled by the cares of the world? They're good questions for us to ask, and there's no doubt that that is sometimes the case. But let's forget the soil for a minute and think about what the sower is doing. When we plant anything, we tend to prepare the ground first. Just scattering seed like this seems very wasteful. Certainly, I've very carefully planted things this summer and watched to see which will grow. And at the moment, they need an awful lot of watering and very careful tending. I'm no farmer, but observation of the ways in which the ground is ploughed and prepared each year around here suggests that that's what our farmers do too. In Palestine, it was the custom to sow before ploughing the ground. So in this sense, the story that Jesus tells is quite authentic in that context. But I do wonder if there are further lessons we can take from the difference between what's happening here and what we might have expected. There's a profligacy about the sower's actions that I find quite striking. Some of this seed will never come to anything. Presumably he realizes this, but does it anyway. It seems very uncalculated, unplanned, unmanaged, a bit like the ways in which the rain referred to by Isaiah falls either abundantly or, as at present, not at all. This lack of management is very different to the way we go about things, not just in relation to horticulture, but in relation to life in general. Think about giving to charity. We want to know where our money will go, that not too much will be spent on administration, that it will reach the people we mean it to reach. Otherwise, we decide not to give. Even if we give directly to a beggar on the streets, for example, we want to be sure that they won't spend it unwisely on drink or drugs. And we call all this being responsible. And for many people, there's so much uncertainty about all these matters that cynicism takes over and they stop giving at all, restricting generosity to those times when they can actually see the results. It's very understandable. But is it right? So often, all action for good seems easily overthrown by the powers of darkness. So we're left with the question of how we can go on believing that our small efforts will be effective, that it's worth working for the overall good, that God's kingdom will come, that there's a bigger picture, that it's positive. And many, of course, decide there is no greater purpose than to enjoy life, perhaps do good on a small scale in those places where the outcome can be safely predicted. Set against that conclusion, we have our readings today. First, listen to the words of St. Paul. Writing to the Christians in Rome, Paul acknowledges that the world is compromised. However hard we try, she refers to as the flesh, we cannot prevail. Human efforts cannot prevail, but God can. And insofar as we are in step with God, insofar as we are guided by his Spirit, we can be part of that. The parable of the sower is ultimately a parable that offers encouragement. Despite all the vagaries of the soul, the harvest from the good soil is a bumper crop. A yield of 10% was then considered good, so 30, 60 and 100 was unheard of. The commentator suggests that the parable allows us to hear Jesus thinking aloud about the ups and downs of his Galilean ministry. Despite all frustrations, God's kingdom advances. Take heart, have faith in God. That encouragement is for his disciples, and it's for us too. So returning to the actions of the sower and the thoughts that spring from that, I think we're also challenged by this parable to be less calculating in our actions. I mentioned the ways in which we try to be sure that our giving or our good deeds will be worthwhile. I was reading yesterday about a man who went out to be a missionary to a very remote area of China, and his efforts seemed all in vain. In the end, he was killed by the people who were there. And 100 years later, his descendants returned to find a small church who had dug up the Bible that he'd translated so carefully and were using it. Now, of course, missionary efforts have both positive and negative aspects, but the stories over the years of people who've done what they feel is right, regardless of what they see as the possible outcome, regardless of the dangers, are moving. Those who've given their lives in circumstances where it's very unlikely to have positive impact. Those people who've done the right thing or the good thing just because it was right or good, without looking to the consequences. I think that a loving parent does not always assess whether what they will give that a child will be used well. Often we give just to give pleasure. If the sower of the word of the kingdom is God himself, he is indeed a generous and indeed profligate giver, one who longs for his food seed to take root, but who casts it widely nevertheless. Perhaps we should be more like him. The words we heard from Isaiah are particularly encouraging. God says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and return not again, but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread to eat, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me fruitless, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the task I gave it." So may we be profligate givers, generous lovers, just as God is, and be confident of his promise that the seed he sows in our hearts, in the hearts of others, will indeed yield a bumper harvest in his good time. Amen.